Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Today I'm joined by my co-host, Hashi Bai.
Hello, Roddy.
Hello, Hashi. And today our special guest is Chris Knowlton. Chris, would you like to tell us about yourself and what you're here to talk
about?
Sure,
I'd be happy to. Yeah, my name is Chris Knowlton. I come from Wiles & Media Systems. We create streaming media server software, and we have new software just uploaded to Azure. Azure Marketplace is a certified market image, and I want to show you how that works so you can actually do streaming from Azure to anywhere around the world.
Perfect. Well, I'm excited to get into that. Before we do that, we're going to go over a little bit of news from stuff you may or may not have heard about in the past week or so. So the first item here is we've got premium storage has expanded to more regions. So it's now available in West US, East US 2, West Europe, East China, Southeast Asia, Japan West, Japan East, and Australia East. And we've got four more scheduled for Q4 of 2015, so even more places are going to have premium storage available, which is great. We got an update to the Media Services Java SDK. This is going to add content protection as well as support for more entities and operations, so some great new support inside the Java SDK. There's a new preview, or preview 2, for Cloud Foundry on Azure. So if you're looking at using Cloud Foundry and that open source PaaS framework, there's a new update that incorporates a lot of feedback from users and developers. And then something you may have heard about is rollover security for SQL database. This is now generally available. If you're not familiar with what rollover security does, is it essentially enables you to place security access limitations on per rows inside your SQL database so that you don't have to worry about making sure every access point, so every application you have accessing the data, restricts it. So you can easily say on the database side, you know, Hashi should only have access to Hashi's data, and then that'll take effect no matter what application is pulling that data.
No, I should have access to all data.
All the data? Well, you just program it that way, right, Hashi? And then the last bit of news today is that we released an update for Azure mobile apps, the August 2015 update. Essentially, this is moving mobile applications closer in line and parity with what web apps are. So now, instead of when you create a mobile app, you having, you know, this concept of a mobile app and a gateway and then a web app. Essentially, what happens when you create a mobile app is it creates a web app. And then it has mobile functionality inside that. So really, every mobile app is now a web app with just some very specific functionality for mobile. So the push notification stuff, the identity, all that stuff is baked into a mobile settings piece inside of your application, which you can kind of see right here. And the quick start's there, and it'll basically guide you through the same process. But now it's much more tied in with a web app, so it makes it a lot easier to do website and a mobile application connectivity. So that's our news for today. Now we're going to go ahead and switch over and start the main presentation. All right, and we're back. All right, Chris, let's see what Wiles can do for us.
Sure. So Wiles, as I mentioned, Wiles & Media Systems provides streaming server software that allows you to take a stream, whether it's an on-demand file or a live stream, and broadcast it anywhere in the world to any screen that's IP connected.
Okay.
So it's very powerful. It's been out there in the market for a while, and it allows a lot of folks to condense multiple parallel workflows that use all these different proprietary workflows into a single workflow where we provide all the different formats out to all the different devices.
Okay.
So what I have on my screen I'm going to show you how it works with Azure,
okay.
How you would find it, how you'd get started if you wanted to do your own streaming right from Azure.
Okay.
Because it runs on premises or in the cloud, and we do have now certified images on Marketplace, and we just put up the latest version, and that's what I'll be showing you today.
Great. Now, is the functionality pretty much the same whether you're doing it on premise or on Azure, or is there a big disconnect?
Yeah, it is. It's very similar. The only thing you can't do is on premises, you can do what's called multicast, where you have one to thousands, and it only takes up as much bandwidth is one single connection.
Right.
Whereas if you're doing it through the internet, you're going to do everything over TCP connections, and you're going to have the one-to-one connections.
Okay.
The nice thing about it, though, is that you can also, because you're using HTTP protocols for a lot of these, for the what are called adaptive bitrate streaming protocols, things like when you see Netflix and you see it get a little fuzzy and then snap back in. The idea was to avoid the buffering, but let you just see a little bit of fuzziness, but snap back in and never see buffering if all goes well.
Okay.
So all those run over HTTP, and so those can make use of things like Azure CDN. And so that can scale out, obviously, to millions. So you could have a single server, but be distributing to potentially hundreds of thousands or millions of people from that single server.
Okay, awesome.
So let me show you how that works. If you want to get started, you go into Marketplace and search for Wowza. And what should come up here are a couple of, our old ones are still there. We just upgraded to 4.2. I'm going to choose the Wiles Streaming Engine 4.2 Windows. And it's BYOL. You have to bring your own license today. We'll have a paid version on Marketplace soon, so it'll be one-stop shopping. But today you have to go to wiles.com and get a license and plug that in. So what this is effectively a trial version that's sitting up here.
Okay.
And so it gives you the description, shows you the screenshots. I'm just going to go ahead and hit create.
And so basically, you, like you said, this is creating a trial version, but essentially once you, if you were just doing that, you just then get a license and you apply. You don't have to create a new instance.
Correct. You just plug in the key. And in fact, I may be able to show you that later
okay. In
the demo here. So obviously, you have to go in and fill in a few things. So I'll just go and call this Wowza Azure Demo 4. See if I can type it right. Give it a name. Call myself Wowza User and a password. Sort of the standard fare. And it's going to be pay as you go, resource group. I'll just make up my resource group as Wowza Resources. Because we're in Seattle, I'm going to choose West US.
Okay.
We want to be as close as possible to wherever your encoding source is, wherever your camera is, basically, so you have as few hops across the internet to get to Azure as possible.
And is this available in all the same places that just virtual machines are available?
Yeah, or? Exactly. Okay. Anywhere you can get a VM on Azure, you can get this.
Great.
So we got the basics. Now we're going to go choose a size. By default, we give you a couple here to choose from. I'll go ahead and choose D2, hit select, and then take just all the standard settings here for network and storage and security group and everything.
Okay.
So as you pick the machine sizes, is there a guidance? What type of size? Do I need to pick a CPU heavy or memory heavy for this kind of server?
That is a great question. Yeah, we've been doing some preliminary testing. D2 and D3 work pretty well for just a single stream with maybe one or two transcodings, different bit rates. Mm-hmm. We're doing some work now to sort of suss out what looks best for when you're doing multiple streams, and we're going to provide that kind of guidance on our website. We have some currently there, not applicable yet to Azure. We're going to update that so that you actually do have a good sense going in what to do. But what we always tell folks to do, because everybody's situation is different, is test it, see how well it does, see if you're spiking CPU or anything, and if so, go up. Or conversely, if you pick one that's too big and you have lots of extra room, bring it down a size and save some money. So it's really flexible.
Yeah, and it's easier to test on cloud, right? You can just provision a new instance
Absolutely.
In a few minutes.
Well, it's exactly. Not quite like buying the new hardware. Right?
That's right.
Oh, no, I spent too much on my hardware.
Exactly. Okay, so we'll get to the buy. It's loading up the information. As soon as it does, there we go. Legal terms, I'll hit buy.
Wait, we should probably spend a couple hours reading those, I think.
Right? Oh, I probably should. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll leave it to the viewers. I read it previously, of course, so. Okay, so that's going to go ahead and deploy. That will take a few minutes. Rather than waiting for that, I'm going to go to one that I spun up right before we started the session and connect to that one. So I haven't done anything with this one. I'm going to go into it brand new. The first thing I'm going to do is just take a look at the settings here, make sure everything looks right. Look at properties and all, looks good. I'll need that public IP address later, so I'll come back to that.
Okay.
But for now, I'll go ahead and connect. And of course, we get the RDP file, and I'll just go and connect to that. And I'll connect using that account that I created, which I think was Wowza User.
Now I noticed earlier when you picked the on Marketplace which version you wanted, there was also Linux. Now, is there functional differences between choosing the Windows version and the Linux version?
No. They're effectively identical.
Okay.
They used to be different in the sense that you can do what's called GPU acceleration when you're transcoding, but we eliminated that with some newer technology, some of the new transcoding libraries for GPU acceleration have taken care of that.
Okay.
So, should not really be an issue.
Great.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and log in. It'll take a moment, it'll go in, it'll do all the usual stuff.
Sure.
And we'll wait for it to do that. While it's doing that, let me mention one thing.
Sure.
I'll get to it in a moment. What we're going to do, I thought I was going to show you a workflow slide so you can sort of visualize, but let me sort of walk through what the picture would have been.
Okay, great.
So with Wowza Streaming Engine, you take a camera or a file as your source, right?
Okay.
In this case, we're going to use a camera. In fact, it's just going to be a phone today for the demo. You take some source and you're pushing that to a Wowza Streaming Engine. It often has to go through what's an encoder, called an encoder, either a piece of hardware or some software running on a server somewhere. Ones that a lot of our customers use are things like Telecast Wirestream or vMix, which are very popular low-cost encoder software applications that you can just run on any server that you want to.
Okay, so possibly like something we might be running, you know, over there as we film this show.
Exactly, that's gotcha. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you push that signal to that WoW's a streaming engine instance on Azure, mm-hmm. and then from there you can do a bunch of things to it. You can transcode it, you can do what's called transrating, which is actually creating different bit rates, which is what you need for adaptive bit rate streaming. So as your bandwidth at home changes, it right. seamlessly shifts between different bit rates. So you get this great, nice, smooth transitions. You don't really see it much. We can also change codecs. So if you have an older encoder that's pushing out maybe flash content or something, we can bring it in, change it all to what's called H.264 video, AAC yep. audio, which is common across all the adaptive bitrate streaming yep. formats, and deliver that across all those different screens. So we do a lot of things on there, including, I noticed you mentioned the Azure content protection
yes.
Capabilities now with the Java SDK, or the SDK, I think. And one of the things that we do, too, is provide DRM content protection.
Okay.
One of the things that we hope to do is actually tie into that Azure Media Services service and allow you to say, oh, I have a play-ready protection already coming from Azure Media Services. Here are my credentials. Now we can protect that content using those credentials for you.
So that's one question I have is kind of how does this kind of differ from what is capable through Azure Media Services?
Like, yeah.
What are the kind of the differences there?
Yeah, that's a great question. Azure Media Services is set up as an API. So if you want to go and develop using an API, that's a really good way to go. If for some reason you want capabilities that maybe it doesn't have, or maybe there's something that WoW's a streaming engine does, it delivers in some older proprietary formats and like RTMP, RTSP, sort of the ones that you used to use for old Android devices and set-top mm-hmm. boxes and yep. QuickTime. There's some capabilities that you can do and get a little bit more granular control at a box level that you can get through WoW's a streaming engine. So there may be just differentiations in okay. different features and things and how you want to approach it.
Okay.
And so there are some pieces that are complementary as well. And so we've been working with the Azure Media Services team on how can we help push traffic to Azure CDN and eventually to the content protection capabilities. So we should see some more cross-pollination there as we go forward.
Right, so it's not really a, you know, us versus them more thing, it's you guys work together.
No, there's overlap and there's some complementary pieces, and
great.
And we prefer to think of ourselves as partners, and that's how we've been actually together, both groups, talking about it for the last few years.
Great, awesome.
Okay, so we've come up in here. I'm going to ignore the find devices on my network. I'm going to ignore the manager dashboard. And what I want to do is just go find in WoW's the streaming engine the password that is used to sign in. Because by default, we put in this really long, messy password.
Sure.
Don't really want to mess with that while I'm signing in. So I'm going to go and find my application, which is in C program files, x86, WoW's the media systems. And I'll just go into comp. And what I want to go into is this admin password file here. And I'll open it with Notepad. And I'll just change the password that's in there, which, as you can see, is a little hairy. Not something you want to type in. So I'll just go ahead and replace that with something for the moment that's simple. Not highly secure, but simple. Good for a demo.
Whoa, that's my password for all my computers. How is that not secure?
And then really, we should be done with this. I'll just minimize it for now.
Okay.
So we've done that. What I really want to do now is actually just go into that server through the WoW's the Streaming Engine Manager, which mm-hmm. is our browser-based interface.
Okay.
And so to do that, as I mentioned before, I actually need that URL that we had here, this IP address. Oop. Go over here and hit copy on it. It's going to let me hit copy. I'm sure it will. I have patience.
So as you were doing that, when you were on the machine, you didn't show how to enter the license key. So I guess we are on the trial at the moment.
We are on the trial at the moment. That's a really good question.
Okay.
Yeah, I will show you that through the UI.
Ah, I see.
Of WoW's a streaming engine. See, I think I copied that. Let's see what happens here. I did. Cool. So you can just hit that IP address, and if all goes well, immediately you see that WoW's a streaming engine's running.
Okay.
So that's a great first test. To get into the UI, you add port 8088, and then we type in engine manager. And this is all documented. We have complete instructions and a video tutorial on our website, so it makes it really easy to do this.
Great, and we'll make sure we get the links to those and include them underneath the video.
Perfect. In fact, the short one is wowza.com/Azure.
Oh, well, that makes it pretty
that
easy.
That gives you, yeah. That's sort of the vanity URL that gives you information and points you to other resources. So first time in, you get sort of the overview. Here's sort of the diagram that I might have brought up earlier mm-hmm. had we done that. the idea that you're bringing in sources, whether they be on-demand video files, whether they be cameras, you push them into what we call applications. Effectively, each of those is a channel, and you have a number of settings for each of those channels or applications. You set it once, and then you push to whichever screens you've selected in that application.
Okay.
So it's sort of, for folks who are just getting started, it gives them the nickel tour, you know, the high-level overview. Okay, now here's where we type in that highly secure password that I put on the server a few minutes ago. And ignore that. And Dashlane, the password manager, is telling me that that is a very insecure password. The other thing that I'll do right now, too, is here what happens is when you're pushing a stream up to a server, we want to make sure that not just anybody who happens to know where your server is can push a stream to it.
Sure.
You don't want somebody hijacking your live broadcast
Absolutely.
Or something. So what we ask you to do now is type in another set of passwords that you type in on the encoder to push that content in.
Okay.
And so I will use, again, some very highly secure passwords here.
Now, so you've got an encoder that's connected into whatever your media source is, right?
Yes.
So the credentials you need to enter for that, is that something that's just standard for like encoders? Or do you have to run some Wowza application on the encoder?
No, neither. On the encoder, you get to actually specify what the password and username are going to be.
Okay.
And here, you want to make sure that it matches.
Right. Okay.
So here we're saying, oh, if it's not coming from this username and this password, we don't want to take it. And then you go enter those on the encoder.
Okay.
So usually the encoder application has similar fields where you enter what credentials you want to use.
Okay, great.
So by default, we actually do put in here Wowza as the default source username, and then another one of those really long, hairy, audacious passwords. So I'm just changing it to Wowza user as the source username and then new passwords. So essentially, I'm adding another publisher, another source publisher to the server.
Okay.
So what it's going to bring up now is the home page. And what this shows you is, at a glance, you see some kind of cool information. You see how many connections, you know, if you were running a live presentation right now, you get to see how many people were running on. At a glance, your server health. Down here, you get information about some additional features that we used to call premium add-ons. They're now just part of the base package.
Oh, great.
But the transcoding that I mentioned, the DRM capabilities that I mentioned, where you just type in credentials for a DRM service and connect, and what's something called network DVR, basically like TiVo, when you can pause and stop and go back and all that, we have that capability as well.
Okay, great.
And those, as I mentioned, all used to be premium. Now they're just rolled in. But with the trial license, the default license that you get in Azure, you don't actually get those to try.
Gotcha.
So when we put in the new license, those will all say licensed.
Okay.
One of the cool things, though, about this is that right here in the middle of the page, you get this test players box. And what this allows you to do is just do a sanity check that, did I do this right? Is this thing actually working? Can I actually stream with it?
Mm-hmm.
And so it launches a set of test players, and you'll see across the top here a bunch of different protocols and formats that it refers to. MPEG Dash, which is the latest international standard for streaming, but older ones like Adobe RTMP, the standard flash streaming, Adobe HDS, which is HTTP dynamic streaming, their version of HTTP adaptive streaming, Microsoft Smooth Streaming. So you can do all of those and test all of those through this UI. So it's a great sanity check. And so if I've done this right, when I hit start here, nothing will happen because there's one check that you always have to remember, and that is the URL you'll notice up here is the internal URL at Azure, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that external facing URL.
Right.
So one thing that we have to do manually at this point is go in and type that, paste in that URL again, that IP address, and then hit start. And now it's actually pulling from that server from an external IP address. And
okay,
so you see that it's actually working. I can go try another one. It'll do the same thing. So now, you know, sanity check. Hey, it all works.
Excellent.
Which is great. So now I'll go ahead and close that. And what I really want to do today is show you a live stream. Before I do that, I think I'll go ahead and put in that license key that we mentioned.
Sure.
And what I can do, I just went to the server tab here, and what we're looking at is the server setup information. And that includes this information about license key here. And what you see there is a key that just gets put in by default on all Azure instances when they first start with sort of this limited functionality.
Right.
And so what I want to do is go to Wowza and hit this Get My Free Trial button up here. And with that, I can very easily just get a free trial sent to me immediately.
Okay.
And so it's pretty easy to do. And you just enter some information. Oop. And you got to follow what the instructions say. And I'm going to put in my demo address here. And wowza here. And I've previously read the EULA, and then I hit submit.
So I very much so believe that you read the EULA.
I have. Honestly, I have. So what it basically does is says, hey, it's on your, you know, the key is on its way. I'll go into, so that trial key's in.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and open that up. And down here, essentially, there is a license key that I can grab.
Okay.
And go back to our instance that's running up in the cloud. And I'll edit that server setup section and replace that license. Just go ahead and hit delete and put in this new one.
Okay.
And then I'll hit save. So now you have to restart it. Wants to make sure that everything's running fresh and clean with that new license. Takes about 5 seconds for it to restart the server. Not the whole server, just
right,
while
just
the streaming
not the virtual
engine.
Machine itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Good. That might be a few more seconds.
Yeah, right. And then we go back over to the home page. And you'll see that now down here, those features that were previously listed as not licensed are now licensed.
Okay.
And so this is an official trial license. What this means is that you have 182 days left to test this however you want. The only thing that it doesn't let you do is get beyond 10 connections and doesn't let you connect to a CDN. So you can't get a trial license for no cost and deliver to a million people.
Right.
But it does let you test everything out really nicely until you're ready to actually put something in production and then get a key for $65 a month.
Okay.
So not a bad way to test the waters.
Sure.
All right, so we've done that. What I'll do now is actually go into, we have these things called applications, as I mentioned earlier. You'll see that the HTTP origin options are grayed out because it's a trial key, which would allow us to push to a CDN. I'm going to go in and create, actually, by default, we have a live and a VOD, a video on demand application already created. I'll go into the live one. And what it does is show you right at the top a number of settings here. So you see these are all the different formats that are currently enabled by default, all these different formats.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do some additional things as well. You could do low latency streaming for a live video chat. Some services on the web, in fact, that are using our software underneath the covers to power live video chat for web conferencing.
Great.
You can record all incoming streams by default. So if, say you're a news organization or something, every time somebody sends you a feed, you want to make sure you capture it.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually have all that happening and just getting stored to your local Azure storage.
Okay. Makes sense.
But what I want to do now, though, is go to the live sources. And here's where you pick out the type of device that you're bringing it in from, whether it be Wowza Go Coder, which is our application that runs on iOS and Android today. It's a free app that allows you to turn your phone that's in your pocket into a mobile broadcast studio, as it were.
Very cool.
Axis Communications, Axis, all those IP cameras that you see around in ceilings and things are often Axis cameras, or Sony. Sony's also on here. And I mentioned earlier Telestream, Wirecast, a bunch of other folks. These are all big names in coding. They're all our works with Wowza partners.
Okay.
There are folks that have done integration on their side to work better with Wowza. Like from the drop-down menu in their encoder, they say push to Wowza streaming it.
Oh,
and on our side, we've built in this ease of use where you just click on something, you get a configuration file. You never have to go in and type in or copy and paste an IP address again.
Great.
So it eliminates a lot of the common errors that people are running into, just sort of streamlines the whole workflow.
It's always good.
So for this demo, I'm going to use Wowza Go Coder. And by default, it gives you information to learn about it. So if you don't have it, tells you all about it, lets you go ahead and install the app. But here we can go and get all the information if we needed to manually type it in for some reason. But if you were actually running this, I could actually be running this on an iPad for all it matters. I'm running on a Surface at the moment. If I were running on the iPad and had the camera on the iPad, I could actually just say auto-configure. It would just launch Go Coder right from here.
Mm-hmm.
I could control the live stream and my server all from the same user interface.
Great.
But what I'm going to do here, because it's separate, I'm going to put it on this device over here.
Okay.
I'm actually going to send this to myself.
But do you need to update the IP address in this case?
I do. Thank you very much for pointing that out. You are right. That's another thing. Oh, that wasn't it. That was that
license key.
That's that license key again. Yep. So let me go, I've got it here. plug that in. So that just saved us a little time. Thank you. And so you hit that, and now type in the email address. There we go. And this time I'll hit priority on it so it gets here fast. So I've just sent that off. I'll pull it up on the phone and then just launch GoCoder from there.
So now when you receive that on your phone, will that be something like that deep links into the applications that when you open it, it basically sets up the application for what you need?
Exactly, yeah. Great. So I'll show you. I'll bring up the phone now and I'll show you what it is you do.
Okay.
So I'm going to go into my email app. So just going into email here. Let me pull up that, get the right inbox so we can all see. There we go. And so what I have in there, the top thing is just an email that I just sent myself.
Okay.
So I'm going to open up that email. And what it has in it, probably hard to see, but what it has in there is a couple of URLs.
Okay.
One for iOS, one for Android. I'm the top one is an iOS URL. I'm going to go ahead and tap that. And what it does, to your question, is it launches GoCoder right away and asks if I want to overwrite my existing settings because there are already settings in there. I'll say yes. It's probably a little bit hard to see, but what are on here are contextual help. So right away from this screen, you can actually see, if as a new user, oh, here's what all the buttons do. I don't have to go look at a user manual or anything.
Always helpful.
Yep. So just tap it to get rid of those. And what you'll see now is the camera that's pointing over my shoulder. Mm-hmm. You can also bring it to the front camera.
Okay.
But what I'm going to do is go into some of the settings. It's going to be two pieces of information missing. The first one is there's what's called source authentication. We don't send the password in the clear in that email.
Sure.
So I have to go type that password in now. So I'll do that real quick. And I got to reorient just to get it to work right here. Here we go. And type that. And hit done. Okay. And the other thing I'll check is the resolution at which we're sending. By default, it's sending at 640 by 360. On an iPhone like this, it can go up to easily to 720p. Just depends on how much bandwidth you have. Since I'm not sure what their bandwidth is here, I'll go with the default of 640 by 360.
Okay.
And for the moment, I'm going to put it on video only because I don't want our video, our audio, to get picked up and echoing through the laptop as we play
that
it back in a minute.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So it's set the settings. And now what I'll do is I'll hit the start button. And if all goes well, it says stream started here, so I know that it's made the connection to my server on Azure, and it's actually streaming live now.
Okay.
And rather than looking at the board or at us, I'll actually bring up the virtual fish tank here, which is probably a little bit more interesting for our viewers at home.
Yeah. So if anybody's is wondering, he's got a tablet over here that's just showing kind of a virtual aquarium, so you can see fish going around, stuff like that. So excellent.
It's just more interesting than looking up from the camera and the surface kind of up my nose, you know.
That's fair, yeah. That makes sense.
Okay, so it's streaming. So let's find out what that looks like now when we go back to WoW's the streaming engine running on
Great.
Azure. So I'll go to my incoming streams link over here on the left, and what I get is this, I see my stream here.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is that stream coming in from the GoCoder. So this is it right here. It shows me the RTSP IP address, so I know that it's the right protocol, it's the right address, I recognize that. If I wanted to, I could actually go over here and hit record this stream and start recording it right away.
Where does that record it to?
Currently, it just records to local disk.
Okay.
You can configure it so that it goes somewhere else.
Okay, great.
What a lot of people do is they just record to local disk and then they move somewhere else for longer term storage.
Makes sense.
And then what we can do again is go back to that test players that we used earlier for that on-demand asset and actually see if we're getting that live stream. Now again, we have to change this IP address up here. Eventually, we'll probably change that also so that it automatically detects
Sure.
or gives you the option to put in my internal IP address or my external IP address.
Makes sense.
And you see that it's streaming back.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Yep, so super fast. You can go full screen. And this is only 640 by 360, but not bad for that and starting right away.
Definitely.
So we know that it's working. The one other thing that we might want to do is do that transcoding that I talked about so you get adaptive bitrate streaming. This is just a single bitrate coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and enable that transcoder that we talked about earlier. So I'm going into the transcoder section over here. I'm going to enable the transcoder. And I'll scroll down. By default, what happens is there are a number of templates that come in WoW's streaming engine by default. You can customize them all you want. Oop. Sorry. But by default, it goes to this fallback template here, which is called, at this point is TransRate. And let me get out of that. And I'll go down to the TransRate default template here and just show you what that looks like. So here's what the streams that are enabled. But this template allows you to do what's called source. So whatever resolution you're bringing in, mm-hmm. in our case, it happens to be 360p, but it's often 720p or 1080p stream.
Right.
You want to bring in a higher resolution stream and then keep one resolution, one stream the same, and then have a bunch of lower resolutions. So as your user's bandwidth changes a little, it adapts nicely.
Yep.
So 720, 360, 160. Now, I already have 360 coming in by default. I don't really need it a second time or the source stream. So basically, the source will be the same as that 360p stream. So I'm mm-hmm. going to go ahead and just disable the source stream. So I'm not doing it twice because it's not going to serve any purpose in this case.
Okay.
So I'll just hit disable encode on that one. And go back to here. And we should see now just the two streams checked, just 160p and 360p. Again, just using low resolutions for the purposes of our demo today.
Great.
And then what I need to do is go and restart the transcoder because I still have a live stream coming in. Transcoder hasn't really connected to that yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and restart this application, just the live application, not the whole server. And what you'll see over here on, I guess you won't really see here. What's happening over here on the GoCoder screen is actually it's indicated that the stream was stopping, and then a message came up and said restarting. So we know we made the reconnection automatically as soon as that application came back online.
And that's essentially a kind of a one-time thing you have to do when you need to change the
transcoding. Yep.
Right.
Yep. Basically, you're changing some fundamental pieces along the workflow, and you got to stop things and say like it's kind of like water through a pipe. You got to stop the water for a minute, turn a valve, turn the water back on.
Makes sense.
Okay, so if I go to incoming streams now, we should see I actually have multiple streams now. So we try and make it a little bit easier for you here by giving you two groups that are already predefined, MyStream All and MyStream Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
You can define your own, but this allows you to take all the streams and put that in a desktop player that where you might normally have 720p or 1080p resolution here, gives that desktop player the full range of bit rates to choose from. MyStream Mobile typically just picks the bottom 1 to 3, depending on how many you have, and allows you to play that back on a mobile device with smaller screens. That way you're not creating as many streams or forcing the mobile device to try and pick a stream that might be too big for it.
Makes sense.
We won't go ahead and do that, but what we would normally do here, rather than test, I'll show you what we do with that URL. We normally grab the URL here and copy it, and then go into something like JW Player, which is a popular browser player, also works on devices, plays back in multiple formats.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just go into something like their publisher and drop that URL in like that, and a poster image maybe and a title, and hit publish video. And right away, you'd have this player that would play back on devices, on desktops.
Oh, great.
And it gives you the embed code and analytics and all sorts of great things.
Perfect.
And so you could just drop that on a landing page somewhere and go to town and be ready to go in just a few minutes. So it makes it really easy to go from encoder to streaming engine without having to get any hardware, just spinning up that Azure instance,
mm-hmm.
and then drop it onto a piece of player software that works everywhere, and then just drop that player software as an embed code onto your web page. And in a matter of 10, 15 minutes, you have this full end-to-end workflow going that looks really great and runs across all screens.
Definitely, very cool. Now, how does this all plug into the CDN?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. In the CDN, we have the capability to push things out through stream targets. And so you'll see today we have a number of targets that are defined. Eventually you'll see additional targets defined on here like Azure CDN.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things coming. But you go in here and you choose what you're, you know, from these existing targets, or you can create just a generic one. In fact, that'll probably be sort of our interim solution. Our crawl, walk, run solution will be to have folks who want to use Azure CDN go through, for instance, the generic RTMP publishing capability mm-hmm. here and define it as a stream target. Eventually, we'll have it where you just go in and you enter your credentials, and between our software and the CDN, Azure CDN, yep. they'll just talk to each other
work together,
and you won't have to type in a whole bunch of stuff.
Great. Awesome.
So that'll make it really easy.
Very cool. Now, where can people go with, for more information about this? I know you mentioned earlier, was it wowza.com/Azure?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll show you what that looks like here real quick. It gives you a real quick overview of how it works, what it does, some of the benefits. Points you, there are a bunch of links on here to other things to get started, including where to get licenses, where to get information about the how-to. You know, so everything that you need to get started should be right here on wowza.com/Azure.
Perfect. Now, do you have like a Twitter handle or something like that people can reach out to if they have questions?
Yeah, it's Chris_Knowlton.
All right, that should be easy enough for us to get in there.
Yeah.
Great. Well, any other information you kind of want to share before we finish up?
I think that's it. I mean, we've been working with Azure and Azure Media Services for almost 4 years now. We're really happy to see that all the pieces are finally coming into place so that we can offer instances on Azure and make it really easy for folks to do streaming around the world to any device, complementing, again, as you mentioned earlier, Azure Media Services. And just looking forward to all the cool things that we'll be able to do going forward as more and more of the pieces align and we get more capabilities on Azure and more capabilities in WOW's streaming engine.
Great. Well, very nice. And if you could leave that up, I'm going to go back to my office and just stare at my aquarium computer screen for a while. All right, Chris, thanks so much for coming out here and talking to us about
WOW's. Thanks for having me.
It's fun to see what you can do there. And everybody out there, thanks for watching. Please follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.